Royalty in Ruin, Chapter 52. Nehemiah, Man of Prayer and Action. Nehemiah, one of the Hebrew exiles, held an influential position in the Persian court and had free access to the royal presence. He had become the monarch's friend and counselor. However, in the midst of the pomp and splendor, he did not forget God or his people. His heart turned toward Jerusalem. Through this man, God determined to bring blessing to his people. Nehemiah learned from messengers from Judea that the returned exiles in the chosen city were suffering. Opposition hindered the restoration work, the temple services were disturbed, and the walls of the city were still mostly in ruins. Overwhelmed with sorrow, Nehemiah could neither eat nor drink. In grief, he turned to the divine helper. "I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." He pleaded that God would support the cause of Israel, restore their courage and strength, and help them build the devastated city. As Nehemiah prayed, his faith and courage grew. He pointed to the dishonor that would be cast on God if his people remained weak and oppressed. He urged the Lord to fulfill his promise to Israel, given through Moses before they entered Canaan. See Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. God's people had now returned to him in repentance, and his promise would not fail. Now Nehemiah resolved that if he could get the consent of the king and the necessary material, he would himself take up the task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and restoring Israel's national strength. And he asked the Lord to grant him the king's favor so that his plan could be carried out. "Let your servant prosper this day, I pray," he pleaded, "and grant him mercy in the sight of this man." Nehemiah waits for God's opportunity. Nehemiah waited 4 months to present his request to the king. Though his heart was heavy with grief, he tried to be cheerful in the royal presence. In those halls of luxury, everyone must appear light-hearted and happy. But when Nehemiah was alone, concealed from human sight, he offered many prayers and tears that were heard and witnessed by God and angels. Finally, sleepless nights and care-filled days left their mark on his face. The king, jealous for his own safety, was accustomed to read facial expressions and to see through disguises. He saw that some secret trouble was eating away at his cupbearer. "Why is your face sad?" he inquired, "since you are not sick. This is nothing but sorrow of heart." Would the king be angry that while Nehemiah was outwardly engaged in his service, his thoughts had been far away with his afflicted people? His cherished plan for restoring Jerusalem, was it about to be overthrown? So, he writes, "I became dreadfully afraid. With tearful eyes he revealed the cause of his sorrow. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?" This awakened the monarch's sympathy. "What do you request?" The man of God did not dare to reply till he had asked for direction from one higher than Artaxerxes. He needed the king's help, and he realized that much depended on his presenting the matter in such a way as to secure his aid. "I prayed," he said, "to the God of heaven." In that brief prayer, Nehemiah pressed his way into the presence of the King of Kings and won to his side a power that can turn hearts. In the busy walks of life, when we are almost overwhelmed with perplexity, we can send up a prayer to God for divine guidance. Travelers, when threatened with some great danger, can commit themselves to heaven's protection. In times of sudden difficulty, the heart may send up its cry for help to the one who has pledged to come to the aid of his believing ones when they call on him. When temptation comes at its fiercest, the believer may find support in the unfailing power and love of a God who keeps his promises. God gave Nehemiah courage. In that brief moment of prayer, Nehemiah received courage to ask Artaxerxes for authority to build up Jerusalem and make it once more a strong city. Results that were enormously important to the Jewish nation hung on this request. And Nehemiah declared, "The king granted me what I asked for the gracious hand of my God was upon me." NRSV. Nehemiah set about making arrangements to assure the success of the project. While he knew that many Israelites would rejoice in his success, he feared that some might stir up the jealousy of their enemies and perhaps bring about the defeat of the whole effort. The king had received his request so favorably that Nehemiah felt encouraged to ask for still more help. He asked for a military escort to give authority to his mission. He obtained royal letters to the governors of the territory he must pass through on his way to Judea, and a letter to the keeper of the king's forest in Lebanon, directing him to furnish timber. Nehemiah was careful to have the authority given him clearly defined. God's children are not only to pray in faith, but to work with diligent and wise care. Nehemiah did not think his duty was done when he had wept and prayed before the Lord. He united his petitions with holy effort. He asked for the means he lacked from those who were able to give it. And in behalf of the cause of truth, the Lord is still willing to move on the hearts of people who are in possession of his goods. Those who work for him are to secure these gifts by which the light of truth will go to many dark lands. The donors may have no faith in Christ, no acquaintance with his word, but this is no reason why their gifts should be refused.